How ironic. It's the news, according to me. Good evening, folks. It's the late night edition of the news, according to me. It's April. It's August 9th, and it's 8:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I didn't have a show this morning, if you didn't notice. For those of you who didn't notice, I normally have a show in the morning. This is a show in the evening. I will be having a show again tomorrow morning. This show is going to be fairly short, just so you know. Probably not over 30 minutes. But I did find it yesterday morning. I did have a show, and I actually talked about the FBI and the corruption therein. Ironically, as I was recording that show, the FBI was raiding Mar-a-Lago. Or Mar-a-Lago, however it's pronounced. That sounds the same to me. As I've been saying, I keep hearing pundits say, in fact, I hear people on the left, like Dershowitz and some others. See, there's just no way that the DOJ, even Larry Elder, now this really surprises me. I consider Larry Elder to be one of the sharpest minds of our age right now. I have to disagree with him on this. He doesn't believe there's any way the DOJ will bring an indictment on Donald Trump. I don't see how they can't. They've got themselves in this mess so deep into this fairy tale idea that Trump is this criminal who incited an angry mob that was armed. Show us the big pile of weapons, I guess. There doesn't have to be any. All it has to be is Liz Cheney saying that this armed mob that Trump sent down to the Capitol building to overthrow the election and hang Mike Pence. They keep repeating that, and we're supposed to believe it because they say so. This is what we have to deal with right now. I don't know. I don't know how they don't at this point. The news media right now is laying into this raid as if it's, as if the FBI is the hero. They're finally, it took them a while, they're taking their time, they're being very methodical, but they finally are going after they're not talking about the details of this whole thing, which is really even more disturbing. They're just making it sound like, yeah, they're going after Trump, they're raiding his house now, they're getting out top secret information, classified information. Stuff that he took out of the White House. He stole from the White House, basically. He walked off with it. He's hiding it. That's not what's happening here at all. This is the National Archive. The FBI is acting on behalf of the National Archives. There's so much baloney going on behind the scenes here. This is nothing more than a fishing expedition. Actually, if you had a chance to listen to Matt Walsh today, I think he gave probably the best rundown of this whole thing that I've heard anybody say. It was actually pretty good. And by the way, just while I think about it, I've talked about Redacted. There's a channel called Redacted. And I've always said, there's something it sits uneasy when I'm listening to these people. They do. Now, here's the thing. This is what's interesting about it. They are very interested in the truth, and they go after some things behind the scenes a lot of people think that they're conservative. I guess that they've been, there's been a lot of comments on their channel lately that people have said this is a conservative channel or whatever. Well, they flat out made that very clear today that they are not conservative. They are progressive liberals. Now, that's why I've had this uneasy feeling. Because something just didn't set right with me the way they were talking all the time. Now, I can listen to people like Jimmy Dore. In fact, I used to listen to H.A. Goodman before he converted. I used to listen to him when he was a Bernie Sanders supporter. I can listen to Redacted. The thing is about the information that they're giving you. Now, the other side of this is that there's some things that that make it a little bit uneasy when someone's on YouTube talking about disinformation and misinformation and all this. They don't get censored. This raises some red flags for me, actually. The things that they're talking about, I couldn't talk about. Now, supposedly they've been demonetized by YouTube. But they have all kinds of sponsors, big sponsors, who believe in independent journalism. Now, I know, so folks, this independent journalism and this the independent voter, the middle of the road centrists, they're just not that many of them anymore, folks. This is a very polarized nation right now. There are people who are not so sure. And they're leaning one way or the other, typically. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because when people have an influence, when they have a platform, especially when it's a husband and wife team like this, they're very well-funded. They have like huge, they got a regular production. I mean, this is top-notch production stuff that they do on their show. They have serious sponsors. It takes serious people, the marketing skills, to go out and get sponsors the way they've got. There's more behind their channel than just this husband and wife thing. You don't get that kind of polish from just two people in their basement at home doing a little video thing. Doesn't happen. So there's some suspicion there, in my opinion, that this could be they could even be CIA operatives or some kind of intelligence operatives putting information out there. Now, I kind of doubt it, because a lot of the information that they're giving us is actual, it's factual information. They got documents and stuff to show that this. But I can only trust that so far, because there may be another, the motive, the whole, what is their end game here kind of thing is always, that's what always kind of bothers me about some people like that. But here's the deal. If they are the real deal, and this is like Jimmy Dore, Jimmy Dore's the real deal. And people have a tendency, like H.A. Goodman, he went after the truth. He wanted the truth about what was going on with the DNC. He realized he was being deceived. He realized he was being taken, that Bernie Sanders was a fraud. This whole thing about Bernie Sanders coming out and being honest about the Inflation Reduction Bill, which is nothing, like, it's not an Inflation Reduction Bill. Stupid. He came out and, this bill is going to do very little to reduce inflation. The reason he's upset about that, and the reason, see, if this thing comes out and it doesn't reduce inflation, which it won't. Now, inflation ebbs and tides, and it comes back, the tide's gone out a little bit now, it's going to come back in. And we're going to see more inflation hitting us probably in the fall. Every time there's a transition in any kind of supply chain issues, you know, there's like a caboose effect in this whole thing as the economy slows down. And right now we're in a little looser time frame, so it's not quite the same. However, it's going to come back, so it'll hit us again, and it'll be worse. Now, as this, because we're not working on supply side economics. This is how Reagan pulled us out of the last Jimmy Carter era issues. The thing that's happening here is that they're putting us deeper into a problem by not fixing it at all. They just think that the stock market's going to, and the stock market did take a little bit of a jump, because I think people are, okay, they got this bill passed. Recession reduction bill. That means they're going to reduce the recession, right? Inflation. I mean, the inflation reduction bill. They're going to reduce it then. But there's There's nothing in this bill that said they're just doing it, and people actually are kind of following suit and investing again. When we realize that that's not what's happening here, you're going to see a major drop again. Now, in the process of all this happening, you have this bill that they put out there. Of course, now we could get into that. That's a whole show in and of itself. I'll probably talk about that more tomorrow morning. The theatrics that are going on, what Bernie Sanders was wanting to do was he was wanting to tax more. He didn't want to have a spending bill. He wanted to have a tax bill. He believes that the way out of recession is to raise taxes. You see, I've seen this in Democrats that are in leadership. Their idea of how the economy is going is how is the government doing? We had a mayor here recently. It was very telling. I wish I would have had the clip. I was actually watching it on regular television, so I didn't have a way of recording it or playing back the clip. This was years ago. They had a Democrat mayor here in this town that I live in. I don't actually live in town. I live outside town, but I do own property in town, which is probably a big mistake. Probably never should have done that. Should have bought something out in the country. Been much happier that way. But anyway, we had this property in town, and they the mayor was being asked, it was on public television, local public television. He's being asked, you know, this was back in the 2008 economy, I believe it was, the year 2008, maybe even 2009, talking about, and the question that the interviewer asked him was, how's Elkhart doing? Well, what he meant was, how are the people in the city doing? How are the businesses doing? How is enterprise doing in Elkhart? He didn't say the city of Elkhart. He said Elkhart. That's, you know, if you look up where that's at, now you know where I am. But it's just east of South Bend. And he had the audacity to answer, we're doing well, we're doing well. Businesses were shuttering. Industry was at almost a halt at that point. But the city was doing fine. The city had socked away some money. They had some money in their budget. They were doing okay. They hadn't overspent. And they actually shut down a couple of projects that they were just about to get started doing, which is why they had money in their coffers. And they also overcharged for taxes, but I won't get into that. They're ridiculous on their property tax there in that township. And they, ironically, they, you know, he answers this question and acts like, you know, the city's doing fine. Well, he wasn't asking about the town, the government part of the town. He was asking about how people were doing in the town. But this is very typical of the left wing, that is in at least the leadership of the left wing. They see the economic situation. They see their world is wrapped around what the government's doing, how the government's doing, not how the people are doing. It just blows my mind. And this is where they were going. This is completely where they were with this whole thing. And that's where Bernie Sanders is. He thinks that, well, in order to bring us out of a recession, this inflation issue, you know, the inflation, we have to stop the inflation by taxing people more. That'll slow it down. Seriously. Really, Bernie, what economic class have you ever taken that gives you that, well, probably something in Russia. He spent a lot of time in Russia, by the way. In fact, his wife and him went to Russia for their honeymoon, after, you know, living on his parents' sofa for 30 years. And he got elected into public office, and he got married at some point, and then he's a millionaire. He's a millionaire. We're going to attack the billionaires. First of all, he was talking about, when he first came out, and by the way, was it 2016, he was running for office. All he was going on about was millionaires and billionaires. Got to tax millionaires and billionaires, and he became a millionaire. All of a sudden, the millionaire part of that dropped. He just started saying billionaires. And that's why they're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents to go after these billionaires. If you do the math, that's one agent for like every five people who are in the top 1 or 2%. They already have like 74,000 agents. Well, this is just so we can answer the phone more better. We can answer the phone when you call. You get better service. These agents aren't going to come after you, the little guy. No, huh? No. Which is absolutely false. Absolutely. And you will see. You watch. If you haven't been audited for a while, you're going to get audited. And you're going to probably know somebody who's getting audited as well. Somebody in your circle. Maybe two people. This is a tremendous number. Think about this. 80,000 or more IRS agents. Divide that by 50 states. How many agents is that per state? Yeah. What would your state do with an extra 1,000 or more IRS agents? Count up how many counties you have in your state and how many agents that is per county. In every single county in the country. This is an out of control totalitarian. And they will weaponize. Obama, by the way, weaponized the IRS, went after conservative organizations. Oh, they claim he didn't, but that's absolutely false. There's documents to prove it. And so how does that work then? So if they hire 87,000 more, what are they planning on doing here? This bill is a dangerous thing that they've passed. Anyway, the big thing I want to talk about was this FBI raid. Ironically, I had just talked about that as they were doing this raid, I was releasing the show that was talking about the corruption in the FBI. Now, keep in mind, Dan Bongino went off the rails on this thing. He's really upset. And there are some other pundits that are as well. Now, the MSNBC and the CNN news are all telling you how wonderful this is and how this is they are just salivating. They think that the next thing they're going to see is the perp walk. They're going to have Trump in cuffs. And people, you know, of course, the right-wing media is saying, this has never before ever happened. And I think Trump even said it. It's never before ever happened to any U.S. president ever. Well, what they'll say is, no U.S. president's ever done what you've done. Okay, what exactly did he do? Well, he incited a mob and sent him down to the Capitol building to overthrow the government. Yeah. I know that in a short while, you're going to be peacefully and patriotically letting your voices be heard. Marching down to the Capitol, let your voices be heard. Patriotically and peacefully. Doesn't sound like an incitement to me. You can talk all day about how the election was stolen. That does not incite a riot. We had, for 4 years, nothing but, on two major networks, 24/7, talking about how the election was stolen by the Russians. The president we have is illegitimate. And the walls were closing in on Trump. For 4 years, the walls were closing in. The walls are still closing in. These people are deranged. These people are sick in the head. They've created this monster. It has become a mass hysteria event for these people. They convince themselves of this narrative, and this is what happens. This is where Liz Cheney is. They're mad. They were mad at the FBI for not going there. They're mad at the DOJ for not going out. Now the DOJ knows this is. They're stepping into some very dangerous territory here, because this sets a precedent now. Now the problem is, I don't believe that the Republicans will ever have the chutzpah to do something like this. They'll get into power and then they're going to say, well, now we just need to take charge and be reasonable and be responsible and work, try to work with the other side. We need to reach across the aisle, shake hands with the vipers on the other side and see what happens. Now they're talking about having hearings and all this crap. And we all know what that means. Nothing. It means absolutely nothing. They have these hearings. Who's going to put them? Who's going to post them? Who's going to talk about them? The mainstream media. They're going to ignore it. And you got a DOJ that's not going to do anything about it. Now, they might win the House and the Senate. They don't have the DOJ. They don't have the FBI. The people at the top of the FBI. Keep this in mind. It was the people at the top of the FBI. McCabe. Strzok. Comey. All these people had a plan, an insurance policy, to affect the election. This is a coup, folks. This is an insurrection. This is a tampering with the election, hacking of the election. That's what an election hack is. When you have a phony dossier that you know is phony, you put it out there for people thinking that we have this insurance policy. We have this dossier. The Christopher Steele dossier that Hillary Clinton paid for. We have that in our pocket here. If it looks like he's going to win, we're going to pull this out. We're going to get rid of that guy. He's got to win. He's got to lose a million to nothing. Hillary wins a million to nothing. However it was, he said it. These are the people at the top of the FBI picking and choosing who they want to be president. And yet, none of them went to jail. I'm not sure if any of them even got fired. I believe they're still working for the FBI. They might have just gotten moved from their position. And of course, Jim Comey gets ousted directly from the president. Goes out and writes a book, and then he goes as a, now he's a speaker for, I think he's a commentator now. And Christopher Wray steps in. They're supposed to be calling him. I believe Jim Jordan was all up in a huff, and he said, we're gonna call you in on Friday. You better have documents and records. You better not destroy anything. We're going to bring you in on Friday. And here's what he's going to say. I can't comment on any on potential or ongoing investigation. We can't make any comments on anything. That's what you're going to hear. And they're going to make their little speeches and ask their little questions. And then at the end of the day, everybody goes home, or Christopher Wray has to catch a flight and has to leave at 1:30. He's going to be there for, I can give you 30 minutes and I got to go on a flight. No, Christopher Wray, you don't understand. You work for the people, and this is the people asking you questions. They are calling you to talk to them. These are the people, this is your boss. We are your direct report. Do you understand? And those are our representatives asking you questions. I can't be there, so they're there for me. I elected them to go there and ask you questions about what you're doing. You don't just walk away from me. I'll tell you what, if I have an employee, and I call him into my office, I sign his check every week. I've got him in my office, and he's supposed to go on a business trip for me. And he's in my office saying, well, I got to go catch a flight. No, you know what? That flight's canceled. You're staying here and you're talking to me and you're going to produce records and documents and tell me what you've been doing. What's been on your docket here? You're going to answer to me. Not going to hide behind this. Well, I can't disclose any of that to you because, you know, can't comment on any ongoing work that I'm doing. I'm in the middle of that project, so I can't comment on it. This is the problem we have right now, folks. There's no accountability, no oversight whatsoever. And if there is any, it's certainly left wing. I don't know how else, you know, to get this point across, folks. We are, like I said yesterday morning, we are on the precipice here. This is serious time. What you're seeing, I think it was Casey Hendricks, he's a local radio guy here, talking about how the night of the long knives or whatever it was called. I can't remember what it was called. There have been times in communist regimes, in totalitarian communist socialist regimes, all the same thing, the collectivist regimes, where they had the great purge, or they had the great, you know, the night they sent the Stasi out or whatever they sent out, their secret police or whatever it was, and killed all of their dissidents, got rid of them all. This is the kind of thing that there are these triggering points, these moments in history when we look back and we say, that's when it began. There are a lot of people right now very, very upset about what just happened in Florida, because they realize this is just out of control. You guys are out of control. I mean, there are people who are talking about, you know, it's time to start locking and loading. It's all a lot of saber rattling, a lot of fluff at this point. But I don't know what I don't know. Every time I start talking, somebody upstairs is moving around in one particular spot that is just causing a tremendous amount of squeaking on the floor, and it's just driving me up the wall. So the ceiling is driving me up the wall. The ceiling is driving. Yeah, it's just nuts. I don't know what's going on up there. It's like one particular spot that's causing a squeak, and it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth right there. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to have to go up there and give them peace of my mind. Anyway, went out and quit. See, I was just, that's all it took. So the FBI, yeah, that's what they are, is now been weaponized, politically operating. And here's the deal. My understanding is that the National Archives were basically all upset that he was not storing these classified documents properly. So they have to go out. This was a fishing expedition. They're looking for something. They got into a safe. I would say if something's in a safe, that seems like it's a pretty safe place to keep it. If you're not storing documents properly, they're looking for something. They're just, what they did is they grabbed like 50 boxes of stuff. They didn't look at it there. They weren't looking for, so this just tells you there wasn't specific papers that they were trying to get. This was a dragnet. They went in there, dragged everything out that they possibly could. They're going to take this stuff back, analyze it, go through it, the whole thing. This other thing about the MSNBC thing was, they were all over this for a couple of days. They were saying he was flushing papers down the toilet at the White House. Now, if you know anything about Trump, that is the last place he's going to be working on anything. Trump's not over there grabbing papers and flushing them down the toilet. There's a picture of something in the bottom of the toilet. It looks like a little piece of paper with some print on it. They have this picture of that. Look at this. This is what he was doing. Okay, first of all, where'd they get that picture? It's not like they've been, you know, known to produce things like that before. It wasn't even the White House toilet. It was just somebody put something at the bottom of a toilet, took a picture of it. This is what happened. Use that as their little thumbnail. But, you know, they do this stuff all the time. And then if it was an actual picture of something at the White House that supposedly the FBI found in the White House, what were they doing in the White House? Who found the picture? Who found the stuff in the toilet? What toilet was it exactly? And what was in there? And exactly. How did the media find out about this? Because they won't even tell Congress anything because of this ongoing investigation, but somehow this stuff gets leaked to the CNN and MSNBC, to the press all the time. But they can't comment to Congress, but they can go after Peter Navarro and make sure there's a news crew there with them when they're doing it. but we don't make any comments on any ongoing investigations. We speak through court documents and whatever they call it, the indictments. And through the media that we let to come in and record things while we're doing them. That's how we speak to people. We don't speak to Congress. Can't comment there. Yeah, this whole thing is a sham and a charade, and there needs to be some accountability here. I think it was Dan Bongino that was talking about we need to see people. Well, maybe no, actually, I think it was actually. Matt Walsh talking about this. Walsh, he was saying we need to see people arrested, thrown in jail for the stuff that they're doing because it is criminal. This stuff is criminal, what they're doing. And there's a time for accountability. And I guarantee you, folks, not that I'm advocating this at all, but I know that there are people upset enough. There are some people who fought for this country, laid their lives down for this country. They have friends who died for this country. They've lost limbs. They've served this country. And they're watching what they fought for, what they were willing to die for, be spat upon, trampled on, and they're not happy. They understand what the Constitution... Dan Bongino was very big on this as well. He was making this comment. He said, I know. He goes, I raised my hand and took a sworn oath to the Constitution. How did these agents, these FBI agents, even accept an order like this? There's been some other people who have said that they wouldn't have accepted this order. I don't know. When you're a young, wannabe gung-ho agent, you just obey orders. And if you won't do it, they'll find somebody who will, because there's probably somebody in the ranks who will do it because they'll be promised a higher ranking job later on. That's how this whole system works. That's how the FBI, that's their MO. I think it was actually Matt Walsh who even said what I've been saying all along. I don't think it was Matt Walsh. It was somebody else. Talking about the way the FBI operates, they get this information on people and they walk in and it might have even been on Redacted, I don't know. Go in there and they tell, it's like it did with James Comey did with Trump. Well, just want you to know this stuff's out there. If we start investigating it, they showed him the dossier. They're like, we got this Russia story here. It's out there. So just, you need to behave. You need to, follow what we're doing here. You need to work with us on this stuff. And we can keep you in line. You need to toe the line here and do what we say. Make sure we got the funding that we want. Don't say anything. Better obey. Don't step out of line here, because then we can pull this stuff out. Let you have it. Trump was like, that wasn't me, so I don't know what you're talking about. And I think he kind of realized this is just not good a situation. He fired Comey. And Comey took his notes, gave them to a friend to give to the media, because he didn't feel like he should give them to the media himself directly. That would be unethical. So he gave them to somebody else to give the media, because that's more ethical. That'd be okay. That's the kind of reasoning these people have. The end justifies the means, as I've said before. So this show's gone. It's 30 minutes. Time is up. Thanks for listening tonight. Thanks for letting me talk this out with you. Let me just say this. There's just more going on than what we're being told. And I'm going to try to do more research this evening, see what I can find out. There's just a whole lot of... hopefully Tucker Carlson is on tonight. Guy who filled in for him, not Buck Sexton. What's the other guy's name? Will Witt, I think, who was excellent, excellent. He's got a really good podcast. Did a really good job on Tucker's show. However, he's not Tucker. Brett Baer is a waste of time. But Garrett is actually, what's his name? Greg Garrett? I guess his name. Really good. He had some analysis on this. And even Dershowitz has come out with some analysis on this. But there's got to be accountability. Folks, God bless. Have a great night. I will talk to you in the morning. Take care.